Good morning, guys. I am on my way to work in traffic, like usual. But yeah, I actually welcome it. I used to get frustrated whenever I was stuck in traffic, but these days, I welcome it. And I realize traffic doesn't care how I feel about it. Traffic is traffic. It's going to be there whether or not it has no feelings about it. It's nothing personal against me. So if I have to go through it anyways, might as well just go through it peacefully, right? And I look for other things to do, listen to podcasts, or even record my own, like I'm doing now. But yeah, it's like no matter what happens in life, right? No matter what the circumstances are, we can't control circumstances, but we do control the way we respond to things, right? And I realize there is a difference between responding and reacting. Responding is a conscious decision on how to approach something, right? How to proceed, right? That's responding. Reacting is more of like a knee-jerk reaction, just a reflex, not a lot of thought, just automatic, an automatic response to something that does not have any conscious thought or a decision behind it. For example, a doctor can say your body is having a reaction to the medication, and that's bad news. But if he says your body is responding well, that's great news, responding and reacting. So I've been working on just my responses to things and making sure I'm okay inside. Because as they say, as long as the ship has no holes, right? As long as the water doesn't get in, the ship is fine, right? It doesn't matter what's going on around it. Even if there's a storm in the ocean, as long as the water doesn't get inside, the ship will be fine. So the same thing with me. It's like I want to make sure that I'm resilient, and I have I'm tough. I've toughened up outside, my outer shell, so that I can resist and defend myself against the attacks the world hurls at you, And just not let it affect me. As long as there's no enemy within, the enemy without can do us no harm, right? As long as we are clear and at peace inside, and we are in control of our own mind and our own emotions, how we react to things, respond instead, then nothing that happens outside of us can really rattle us, right? Diaphragmatic breathing is another thing that helps me a lot. Reminding myself to breathe through my belly. Because the idea that I got that was very helpful was from Jon Kabat-Zinn, and it was from the book The Full Catastrophe Living. But in it, he describes how if you stand at the beach, if you go to the ocean and stand right at the beach where the ocean, where the ocean crashes in, and the waves are crashing on the beach. He's saying it's very chaotic, right? It's just a lot going on. Waves are crashing, it's chaotic, lots of things swirling around. But he's saying that when you go into the ocean, though, and you go deeper, then instead of those crashing waves, it's more of just a swell, just a up and down, a gentle up and down. And he's saying that's how it is with our breathing. When we breathe through our chest, that's shallow breathing. That's like standing at the beach and feeling all of the waves crashing on you. And he's saying that is what contributes to our anxiety. So when you start to breathe through your belly, that's like going deeper into the ocean, into your personal ocean in your body. And rather than feeling chaos, you feel calm, right? And so that's been helping me a lot as well. Breathing through my belly rather than my chest. But also realizing that life is shit. And I am going to feel anxiety sometimes. That's just part of it. Accepting that and understanding that has really helped me a lot. You know, instead of wishing the world was just all sunshine and butterflies, you know, understanding that there are snakes out there, you know, and there are wolves and predators, and they will attack. That's what they're designed to do. That's why they're here. You know, life is beautiful, but it's also dangerous. And I realized that when I went into the woods, you know, when I first started going out there scouting, looking for turkey signs, you know, thinking I was going to catch a turkey with my bow. Good luck with that, right? I mean, these turkey will hear you and see you from, you know, miles away, really. And they're gone by the time you even get close. You know, like, it's not easy, especially for a first timer. I'm realizing that it's not fun. Hunting is not fun. I mean, there are moments where you are having fun, but it's difficult. I mean, especially here in Georgia, those public lands, those wildlife management areas, that land is like up and down. I mean, steep climbs. I mean, the terrain is rough, you know, thick. And there are game trails. And I didn't even know that that's what they were called, but they're called game trails. Trails made by animals that walk, you know, along the forest, and they usually take the same path. And so it starts to kind of wear down that path. And so there's like a trail, even in the woods where there are no trails, man-made trails, you'll still see like little trails clear areas where you can walk a little bit easier, where it's not so thick. And I learned that those are game trails. Animals have made those trails. That's like, wow. And anyways, I'm learning a lot, and it's difficult, and it is scary out there sometimes, especially at night, especially when I get turned around and I can't really find my way out, and it's night, and it's dark, and I've seen some big animal tracks, so I know I'm out there with some big animals. Not fun. Not fun, guys. It is terrifying. I'll tell you what. And you're already tired at that point. I'm already tired, sweating. I've been out there all day, and now it's night. And now I'm exhausted. You know, I'm out of water. I have no cell phone service. You know, and the first time I got lost like that, I didn't even have a compass. You know, I didn't even have a flashlight. I was using my phone. I was completely unprepared because I thought it was going to be fun. I was naive, you know, like ignorant. I didn't know. But I'm glad I did it, and I kept doing it. And I'm taking a break now because my daughters are staying with me. It's Father's Day coming up this weekend, so they're staying with me for the week. So when my daughters are with me, of course, I'm not going to be like, hey, girls, you know, hold down the fort while I go scouting the woods, you know? No, I mean, I love the time I spend with my daughters more than anything. But anyways, so I'm not doing anything this week, but whenever I get a chance, I'm always out there with my dogs, even just scouting the woods, learning to move through the woods quietly, learning to just be aware of my surroundings, you know, and be present, completely present and aware in that moment. Looking for tracks, looking for signs of animals, especially wild boar. That's my new quest in life. My new current quest is to take down a wild boar with my bow. And now I'm practicing with my 50-pound bow. I finally worked up the strength practicing with my 35-pound bow, where now I can actually pull back and hold my 50-pound bow, and it doesn't pull my elbow out. But yeah. So the thing is, though, I'd like to encourage everybody to not avoid difficult things. Lean into them. Do it more. Because by doing the difficult things, it changed me. I've become a different person within the past few months. Like, I went into the forest a nervous, insecure, kind of energetic boy, excited energy. But excited, nervous energy, and insecure. That's how I describe myself when I went into the forest, a few months ago. Because that's just how I was, even on my YouTube videos, even on a lot of these podcasts, in the early days when I started this podcast. But that's that you can tell that's like the energy that I was. I was because dogs know us as scent and energy, right? So my energy, my scent was always, aromatic is probably the best word I could use. Aromatic, you know what I'm saying? Like aromatherapeutic. Aromatically therapeutic. It's how I would describe my scent, right? The scent that I produced from my body. My body odor, but I wouldn't even call it body odor. I would call it body fragrance. Anyways, natural body fragrance that just oozes through my pores. It's all good though. I don't even care about stuff like that. But what I'm saying though is that the energy that I carried before was more of like a nervous, excited energy, mixed in with a little insecurity. But now I went into the forest that way. And then when I got lost and everything, I started shaking, trembling. I wanted to cry. I actually wanted to run. I caught myself about to turn around and just run. And I remembered watching a survival show, and the guy said that that's what happens when you get lost. Your first instinct is to just start running. And he's saying, don't tell yourself to sit down and take a drink of water, because by taking a deep breath and taking a sip of water, it helps your body to reset, because you're in a fight or flight state right now. You have to help your body to reset and calm down so you can think, more calmly, more logically. And so I remembered watching that show. I remember that it just came to my mind because I was about to run. So I remember I sat down on a log and I just took a drink of water, even though I was scared, and it did help me to calm down. I was like, let's think, But I went into the forest as that person, the insecure, excited, nervous person. And I came out of that forest a calm, confident, self-reliant person, a man. I went in there as a boy, I came out as a man. And each time I go in there, especially when I go alone without my dogs, because with my dogs there, I do feel a little bit more secure and safe. But when I'm all alone and it's just me, and I have a stick and a string, baby, my bow. Well, I do have my machete, my axe, my buck knife, other things like that. But that's just in case I actually do take down a wild boar. I have to dismember it, skin it, and I gotta carry it out of there. So, yeah, I mean, doing the difficult things, I think, helps us become a more self-confident, self-respecting, self-reliant person. And that's the kind of person you want to become, because the world is not going to take care of you. I mean, yeah, I guess they have social programs and stuff where, unemployment checks and welfare checks and food stamps, but I mean, they give you just enough, and they treat you in a way where you can't really respect yourself. I was there. I remember getting food stamps and WIC and everything. And it was a little bit of a, I had to swallow my pride, but I will do anything for my children. And at that time, we needed it for, to get food and, formula, because that was expensive, for our kids, and diapers and everything was expensive. Well, to me, we were on a budget, a tight budget. But I remember going to those offices, those, WIC offices and stuff, and food stamp offices, and the lines, and the way they treat you, and you just feel like you have your hand out. You just feel like, oh man, I don't really have a choice. I have to put up with this, And you look around you and you see the kind of people that are there too, and you're just like, wow, this is my crowd now. I'm joining this crowd. Wow. That's when I really thought to myself one time, because I heard two women arguing about how something was spelled. And the woman that was getting upset and calling the other woman kind of stupid, just like mocking her, she spelled it wrong herself. I forget what the word was, but I started cracking up because she was like, how do you, the one would have said, like, how do you spell? I forget the word, but she's like, how do you spell something, right? So let's just say south. And the lady goes, S, O U F, like South, like just for example, like I started cracking up. These are idiots that I was sitting with. I was sitting amongst idiots, nimrods, I'm saying morons. And here I was rubbing shoulders with them. I was like, I will do anything to get out of this. I will do anything to get away from this crowd, and be treated like this, I mean, oh, so what am I saying? I'm saying that even though it was difficult, when it came time to renew the wick and everything, they wanted this and that. They wanted, all of this paperwork. They wanted me to prove how much I was making and everything. And even that wasn't much. I'm like, shoot. I mean, you're gonna make me, you're gonna make me prove how little I make? Like, what? The fact that I make so little is already embarrassing enough, Now you're gonna make me show you my pay stubs just to, like, we don't believe you make that little. Nobody can make that little unless they're a complete loser. Oh yeah, I guess you are. Thanks for showing us. Like, what the fuck? So I was like, no, I'm not doing it. I was like, no matter what, I'm gonna try to make it on my own. And I did, and it was difficult, and I didn't avoid it. And I did the difficult thing because, like Michael Caine's character in The Weatherman said to Nicolas Cage's character, he said, usually the right thing to do and the more difficult thing to do, they're usually the same thing. And he was right. So don't avoid the difficult things, because usually the more difficult thing to do and the right thing to do, they're usually the same thing. I honor the light in you that is also in me. Namaste.